customers make decisions about certain things in certain ways.
What of tangible value are advisors giving their clients?
You need to be seen as a thought leader.
Hey, this is the Insights Panel podcast from Brighthouse Financial, a podcast for financial professionals about retirement planning. We bring you insights from leading experts to help you stay ahead of the curve and have more productive conversations with your clients. My name is Amy He, and in this episode, we're discussing how to become the advisor of choice for prospects and clients. Being an advisor is tough, and the competition is getting tougher all the time. We talk to the Insights panel about how people make choices and how advisors can stand out from the crowd. First, I spoke to Dan Goldstein, behavioral economist and principal researcher at Microsoft Research, and I asked him how prospective clients go about choosing an advisor.
So when it comes to the question of being the advisor of choice, it might be helpful to know that customers make decisions about certain things in certain ways. So when they search, they might do one of two things. When you're searching for a product, a customer might tend to form a consideration set of a few candidate products that they're interested in and then ultimately pick one. So for instance, if you're buying a car, you might get it down to three or four cars. Compare the pros and cons of each, and then finally decide from that consideration set. With something like a financial advisor, it's probably more of what's called a sequential search, where you talk to one person. If they do it for you, you go with them. If they don't, you go to the next person and go to the next person and so on. In behavioral economics research, this is called a secretary problem because it's kind of like the problem of hiring a secretary. You interview one candidate. If you like them, you hire them. If you don't, you interview another one. If you don't, you interview another one and so on. And you can't really go back very much in the search because people tend to get hired away pretty quickly. So why is this important for financial advisors? Well, one thing is that they should keep in mind it's not all about them if the client doesn't choose for them. Think about dating. Like very few people just date one person and marry that person. They feel like they have to date several people to kind of understand, you know, relationships and, you know, what they're like and what other people are like and so on. And then they ultimately make a choice. It's going to be the same thing in any kind of sequential search. So if the client doesn't choose you, it's not all about you. It can just be the order that you're in. You know, if you go first, you might not get selected. That said, you might not want to, you know, position yourself very far back in the queue for candidates that are inspected, because I think choosing something like a mortgage or a financial advisor, one of these high stakes decisions, is something that people don't really like doing. They don't like to take the time to search through different options, and so they might stop with the second alternative that they look at just in order to save effort.
That was Dan on the sequential nature of choosing an advisor. Next, I spoke to advisor champion Mark Zinder and client behavior coach Jay Moreland, and I asked them, how competitive is the environment for financial advisors at the moment?
Financial advice is really, really competitive. We just recently read that there are 6.8 million households in America that have $1 million in investable assets. That's about 5.5% of the U.S. population, and we all want that client. There's a lot of people in our business chasing after that money.
And with the increase of robo-advisors and certainly personal advisory services at a much lower cost point, that makes a big competitive advantage for them. Here's the thing. They're great at marketing. What they do is they come out and say, you get a portfolio, you get a plan, and you get an advisor for, let's say, 30 basis points. Now, when you go to a full-service advisor that may charge a point or a point and a quarter, what are they saying? Well, you get a plan, you get a portfolio, and you get access to me. On the face of it, it looks very, very similar. Now, when I bring this up to advisors, they'll often say, well, no. I mean, I do it a lot deeper. I do it way deeper than they do. Well, maybe you're right. The problem is the client isn't going to dig deep enough in there. We love to use mental shortcuts. And when we see that one thing is the same as the other, we generally don't say, let me spend a heck of a lot of time and figure out how one is different from the other. We simply look at what the clear differentiator is. Let's see. On the face of it, they do the same thing. This one charges a point, and this one is at 30 basis points. Yeah, I'll go with the 30 basis points. So we have to understand that not only is there great competition out there, and advisors don't seem to be fearful of robo-advisor and personal advisory services, and I would agree because full-service advisors offer a heck of a lot more. However, if they do not message their differentiation clear enough, then the client or the prospect is left with the one clear differentiator out there, and that's cost.
Okay, so what practical steps can advisors take to stand out from the crowd?
We've always been taught to differentiate ourselves and make us different than the other advisors, the million of us doing the exact same thing. And so when I got in the business, we were taught investments, insurance, qualified plans, and then 529s. So how do you stand out? And my suggestion is do something that the other advisors aren't doing. Help your clients with living wills, durable power of attorney in case of incapacity, list of passwords. Have you ever had a client pass away and, oh my gosh, you try to get into any of their accounts and you can't because there is no list of passwords? Help your clients with these things and stand out from the crowded field.
I totally agree. And you could also look to give some advice away without them being your clients. For example, advisors need to become a thought leader among both clients and prospects, so they're doing something different. Sometimes in the field, we have advisors saying, well, I'm not going to do that because I'm not being paid for it. But you know what? When we go to a car dealership, they allow us to test drive a car without paying for it. So sometimes we need to allow them to test drive our ideas and our advice. For example, an advisor could put a blog or put together a white paper that says something like, the top 10 mistakes my clients made this year and what I've learned from it. Or, don't blame the client, maybe it's the top 10 mistakes I've made as an advisor throughout my career and what you can learn from it. And then put something like that out there where it's fresh, it's honest, it's transparent, and it's something that the advisor down the street isn't doing.
So do you think advisors should be looking to develop new skills?
So one thing that I really work with advisors on, because this is really my space, is something that I call behavioral coaching, which is actually coaching their client, teaching them correct perceptions, setting realistic expectations, and being totally transparent with them. And then I position the advisor as, not just am I your planner and your advisor, but I'm also going to coach you through these situations, because when volatility gets high, when the media is screaming from the top of their lungs, there's a lot of fear and anxiety out in the market, I'm going to help you get through these times because this is what your brain and your emotions are going to want to do. That is something a personal advisory service, even with a human CFP, is not going to have the bandwidth and capacity to do, but a full service financial advisor could do. If you can help your clients have a happier life in retirement, have richer relationships with their family members and friends, those are the intangibles that have nothing to do with your job, but are of great value to to your relationships, to your clients. To give you an example, I have advisors that will use a 5-question communication assessment that I've put together that helps them understand how other people want to be communicated with. I've had advisors use this with their clients, and their clients absolutely love it because it helps the advisor communicate more effectively with it. And then they have turned around and asked that client, who else do you know might be interested in doing the same thing? Because while we're using it for our financial relationship, communication is communication preferences across the board.
Mark and Jay there on some of the things advisors can do to stand out from the crowd. That's all for this episode of the Insights Panel podcast from Brighthouse Financial. Thanks to Dan, Mark, and Jay for their insights on how to become the advisor of choice. And join us next time for more leading insights. Don't forget, you can subscribe for free through any podcast app to receive new episodes direct to your mobile device, or visit us for more episodes at brighthousefinancialpro.com/insightspanel. Stay ahead of the curve with the Insights Panel from Brighthouse Financial. This information is brought to you courtesy of Brighthouse Financial, Inc., that provides, through its affiliates, annuities and life insurance products issued by Brighthouse Life Insurance Company, Charlotte, North Carolina 28277, and in New York only by Brighthouse Life Insurance Company of New York, New York, New York 10017.
The opinions expressed are those of the speakers, and the information presented is for educational purposes only. Speakers were compensated for their participation. Clients should work with a qualified tax and legal professional to draft wills and trusts.